Welcome to Women Who Sarcast. I'm Kathy Barron. My guest today is an amazingly talented and sarcastic woman who is behind the famous irreverent adult coloring books. You may be familiar with these titles: Calm the Fuck Down, Cheaper Than Therapy, Cheer the Fuck Up, and Badass Chronicles, a journal for snarky people, to name a few. Her books are number two on the best of coloring books for 2020, according to Oprah Magazine. And if listeners look under their chair, you might see one. Not only is she an artist and an author, she's also a money coach. I am honored and delighted to have Catherine Lowe, aka Sasha O'Hara, here with me today. Welcome, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Kathy. What a lovely introduction. I had no idea that I was an Oprah. What? Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, you get a coloring book, and you get a coloring book, and you get a journal. That's so awesome.
It is
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me on, Kathy. I super appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm very excited to have you on here. And I just have to say, and have to brag about this a little bit, is that I'm honored to pop your podcast cherry, since this is your first podcast that you're guesting on. Am I right?
Yes, it is. Yes, this is my first podcast. Yes.
So I'm honored
to... I'm still shocked from the first statement.
I'm honored to have you on. I really appreciate you taking the time. So were you always sarcastic?
Apparently, yes. So when I think about sarcasm, to me, it has a little tinge of cynicism. And I don't think I had my first taste of cynicism probably until I was like 8 or 10. So before that, apparently I was a smart ass. So I'm told that, so my dad used to tell me this story about how he was like sitting in his chair after work and, you know, his lazy boy or whatever. And he heard this giggling and he looked over and I was a toddler and he had a glass of wine and I drank it. And I sat there giggling. So apparently I've always had a streak in me. I've always apparently liked to drink, always right. Been a smart ass.
So the drinking smart ass kind of came in together.
And food. So I was born on Thanksgiving, and the story is that I was born early, and that as soon as the pumpkin pie came out, my mom went into labor. Love pumpkin pie, right? So the best response I ever heard to that was like, well, if you had stayed in there, you would have got some. So as it was, like, I shot myself in the foot because I had to wait a year before I could have pie. But it was worth coming out of the womb for. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe my choices were really sensible, but I thought they were funny.
So do you think sarcasm is in the DNA? Like, are your family members just as snarky? Or are you like the top dog?
Well, my dad and I were, I'm sure we were, you know, head to head for a while. He's not alive anymore. So by default, I win, I think. I mean, I don't know. I don't recommend that way of winning a contest, you know, because I miss him terribly.
But, right.
And my mom's pretty funny too, but I think I horrify her a little bit.
Yeah. Moms are like that. Yeah. Like, my mom listens to my podcast. My dad's also passed away over 10 years ago, and he definitely had the dry humor. So I'm just carrying on his legacy. But my mom, I saw her recently just to check on her. She was mentioning a podcast that she listened to and said that I said the F word too much. And she's like, and that's not like you, Catherine. That's not like you, Catherine. That's not who you are. I'm like, that's so sweet of you, Mom, but it's really not true. Because the F word is like my favorite swear word. So, you know, so that was interesting. I mean, I bless her heart for even listening.
Did you feel misunderstood? Did you feel like, but I thought you knew me. I mean, you gave birth to me and I came out going, fuck. And you didn't like, I feel like you didn't hear me.
Well, I'm her favorite child. So, you know, I think she's just very protective
she has
that way.
Like, mom ears on where she just doesn't want to hear she only wants to hear the tender words.
Right. Exactly. At what age did you discover your creative side and what were the circumstances?
Oh gosh. Well, I can think of a couple different phases. And so I had the, I'll call it the building and engineering phase that probably started when I was around six, when I was trying to build a helicopter because I had grand fantasies of riding a helicopter to school, which was like 2 blocks away, but I thought it'd be really awesome to like actually land on the roof.
Right.
I had the book writing phase when I was about 10, and the book I was going to start with was, and nobody else thought it was as exciting as me, but I wanted to write a book about how much the human being could stuff in their mouth because my daddy used to make pancakes the size of a plate, and I got a whole one in my mouth, and I just thought I had discovered this amazing thing, you know? So there's the book writing phase. It's silly. I used to perform, you know, sing and dance in front of like anyone who would tolerate the screeching. Illustration, I'd say 13, because I used to draw a lot and I actually would make coloring pages for myself. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but I would draw these line art things and color them in and spend hours doing it.
So, what did your parents think of all that crazy acting, singing, dancing, coloring?
Well, I think now I'd say they deserve sainthood status. Because I would write commercials for them and perform them and basically hold them hostage. Like, no, you don't understand. This is fabulous. You gotta hear about Ultra Bite toothpaste, you know? And so I do these like skits and oh my God, their ears are bleeding because I'm singing and they're sitting there patiently. So I think they were proud. I don't know how they felt. They drank a lot. So might have been related. I don't know.
And how did the coloring books come to be?
Well, skipping a whole lot of life between 13 and when I published the coloring book, so it will seem like way out of the blue, but we all live life, right? So
Yes.
you can get that.
Yeah.
So I was a massage therapist for a long time, loved what I did, but also like had a lot of debt. And even though I loved what I did, massage therapy is really hard on the body, but I loved helping people relax. I also like did coaching around relaxation and stress relief and things like that, but it just wasn't paying the bills the way I wanted it to. And I really wanted to get out of debt. And so I was like trying little side gigs to make, my goal was to make like an extra $300 a month because I wanted to get out of debt and eventually wanted to like replace my massage income, you know, because that's a finite profession. So long story short, like I was doing different things and then I like to, you know, learn and research. So I was selling stuff on Amazon. You know, I was like one of those, like when you shop on Amazon, when you buy from a seller, it's like another person. You know, it's usually a person or a small family. So I was doing that. I was selling things on Amazon. And I was, you know, just kind of following people who sold on Amazon. And I found online this woman named Catherine Shelton. And I have to give her a huge shout out because she's fabulous, and she's super creative, also named Catherine. And
Geniuses, we're
she and
all
her husband,
geniuses.
I know it's just in the name, right? And Sasha too. Yeah, so she and her husband did this course on how to create a coloring book because coloring books were like starting to trend up. I just had this like bing, like I heard it. I watched this class at like 1 in the morning. I had so much going on, but I was like, I gotta do this. And so I did. I learned and then I tried their way. And then I actually hand drew a couple of coloring books that are not available anymore. But they were on the market. I sold at least 20 of them to my family and friends.
That's how it all starts.
Yeah. And then because I've always loved line art, I studied it in college and, you know, did like theater lighting and set design. And, you know, so I love the visual stuff. And it just evolved as like, God, what would I really love to do? And because I was in the self-help world for so long, I have this part of me that's like, the more seriously something takes itself, the more I just want to fuck it up. Like, the more I just want to make fun of it. You know? So like, I can dearly love something and then I'm like, oh my God, but like namaste, fuck off came from that. Like, I am completely a namaste girl. I'm like down with namaste, but if you get too like self-righteous about it, then you can fuck off. So I was like, I had always wanted to do something with sweary affirmations. And so, you know, coloring books were like, oh my God. So I can do this thing with art and I can share my humor. And I was trying to do side gigs to make a little money. So it just like kind of all came together.
And that's pretty awesome how it comes together like that. you know, to mm-hmm. be all woo-woo. It's like, you know, you put something out there, it's going to manifest. Because I was a massage therapist as well.
Oh, were you really?
For 7 years.
Of course, because your name's Catherine.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're twins. I think I found you. You're my kindred spirit, or my, you know, my twin from another mother.
Mm-hmm. As far as we know, I mean, what's your mother's name and where's she from?
Yeah.
Surprise. We actually are twins.
But yeah, I think that's cool that you went with what felt right. You were in, like you said, the healing arts mm-hmm. and self-help, and that was just a natural progression for you. Because you're also a creative, and I think it mm-hmm. it is hard for people that are creative to, first of all, make a living, and mm-hmm. second, when you have all of these interests like massage therapy and drawing, and it's, for me anyway, it's hard to kind of do all of them mm-hmm. and you've been able to put it all into one with the coloring books, and I think that's pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've always been really clear, like I don't do well with, you know, as a creative and kind of, you know, quirky person or whatever I am. I've never really done well, like my sarcasm definitely has gotten me fired from some jobs. It became clear really early on. I got to work for myself because everyone else who tries to like tell me what to do, basically it never turns out well for them.
And for I them. Get fired. So, it never turns well so out for them. I like how you switch it, even though you get fired.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, that's yeah. So I understand the logic. We're not going to dwell on that. But I knew that whatever I had to do, I had to enjoy it. And, you know, you still got to put food on the table. I mean, I have to put a lot of food on the table. But you know what I mean? Like, right. It's still going to pay the bills.
Right.
And I want to enjoy it. That was super important to me.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite book? Kind of like, you know, moms have a favorite child.
I knew you were going to ask me that for one. And I thought long and hard about it. And honestly, I truly and genuinely love them all. And that being said, I do have some that kind of stand out because, you know, like anything that you do when you first do it, you know, you get that spark of inspiration, but then as you practice, you get even better. And so my last books are actually the best books I have. So Color Me Hangry and I Fucking Love You are really good, if I do say so myself, but it's like also just I feel like the art is better. The coloring is better in them, and I want more people to know how great they are.
Right.
First favorite book was Cheer the Fuck Up, because that really brought in the kind of sweary affirmation piece. But then I love the other ones just because they're so funny. But honestly, I really do love all my books, and I'm so grateful that like I can still open my books and laugh.
Yeah.
Which is what I wanted. I mean, really, I did it for me, and everyone else, you know, thankfully, everyone else liked it too. So that was pretty awesome. I've met some really great people.
It's interesting that you say that you did them for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like that's what creatives kind of need to do, or maybe they do that and not really think about it. I've written a book and self-published it a couple years ago, and I definitely wrote it for me. Because I was gonna like die finishing it. It took me 6 years to write it. And it was like, damned if I'm gonna let this go off the side. Like other projects that I started that I never finished. And it definitely has to be for yourself first, in my opinion. Because otherwise, I mean, it just seems like you're just doing it for other people and there's really no heart in it sometimes.
Yeah. Although I think you might have just called us selfish, but.
Well, so be it then.
I know, but selfish with heart. I like that. That's actually, I think, there's a whole thing in there we could untangle, but I won't go there. But I love that. I love that you wrote that book and that you got it out, because I think that no matter what it shows up with, like if you've got that creative spark, or even if it's not even about, like you don't have to be quote creative per se, but if you have that spark in you mm-hmm. and that's wanting to come out and you actually do it, there is nothing like that. And I don't know if it was like this for you when you wrote your book, but when I published Calm the Fuck Down, it scared the shit out of me. I don't know if people know that. Like it was really scary, and it was really like, I don't know, it was like giving birth. It was not easy, even though I felt so strongly about it. But I think that's why it was so scary. And it wasn't originally going to be called Calm the Fuck Down. It was going to be, the cover was going to be the apple that says Bite Me.
Ah.
And there was, it was like something took my hand and put the Calm the Fuck Down page on top and said, this is going to be the title. And to this day, my palms sweat. Like even telling you that story, I have goosebumps in my palm sweat, because it was like, and that's why I have a pen name, because as Catherine, I'm fairly outspoken, but I can kind of try to keep things under wraps. But I wanted, well, one, I was still a massage therapist and I was trying to be professional, like at a thin veneer of professionality, right? So here I was going to write, like, release Calm the Fuck Down. I was like, I don't think I should do that under my own name. So that's part of how Sasha happened, right? But she's also kind of like Beyonce, because I'm so Beyonce. She's so fabulous. But anyway, right. Sasha is definitely that part of me is like, can say whatever the fuck she wants. I think of her as like this fabulous hot mess, and she's like your best friend unless she doesn't like you, and then, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so that's kind of a tangent, but I think it takes some courage to let that creative spark come out. But it's really important if you've got that burning something in you, you know?
Yeah. So were you afraid because of the swearing part of it?
I think so. Yeah. I'm not afraid of swearing.
Publishing the book kind of exposed you. It's kind of vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and at the time it came out, it was the first one like that. Now there's tons of books with swears in them, but in the U.S., that was, there was one other one, and his title was not as bold, I don't think. It didn't have fuck in the title, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt it was pretty vulnerable.
Cheers to you and making that courageous step to get out there and wake the fuck people up. So I have a question. Do you color your coloring books when you're stressed out?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So before we started recording, you were talking about like all those colors and stuff. And so like, I kind of get stressed out. I feel more relaxed by coming up with the ideas for the page. So I don't always illustrate the page itself. I work with artists. So I'm a curator and artistic director, but I know exactly what I want the page to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So while I can illustrate the page and I have released books, you know, I've done by hand, I think it just looks so much better. But I find that super relaxing, like that creative outlet. So when I have colored, like my hand cramps or like I can't decide the colors, people submit the most fabulous coloring, like on our Facebook or Twitter. Autumn is my fabulous assistant. She helps me with all that. She's so wonderful. And people just submit this coloring and I'm blown away by what people do. And I find it thoroughly intimidating as far as me actually coloring my books.
Right.
So we each play our role, right? I create something that relaxes me. You color it in. It relaxes you. It's like a win-win symbiotic thing.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. So you kind of mentioned how you came up with the pseudonym Sasha O'Hara. Is there more an in-depth story behind that? Because it sounds kind of Southern Belle-ish, which isn't quite, you know, the image is kind of an oxymoron.
I did grow up in Florida for a number of years. Florida isn't always the South, but I'm not going to go there. So the story, this is really interesting. The first part of the Sasha story isn't, but the second part of the Sasha name like bowled me over. So short version of the first, I like to write. I do a lot of creative writing, and I came up with this character named Miss Sassy O'Hara. This is like a year before the book. And so when I was like, oh, crap, I got to think of a pen name to publish this book in. I don't want to use my own name. I was like, oh, Sassy O'Hara. And I was like, okay, well, let me, Sasha O'Hara. You know, that's a little bit more a name people would recognize, right? But the books are sassy. So that's the short version of how Sasha O'Hara came to be. It just kind of like was a name that just stuck with me. But here's what's fascinating. So my mom came out to visit me like 2 years ago. We're on a drive. And she is asking me, like, so why Sasha O'Hara? So I'm like going into this long explanation. And then finally I took a breath and I was like, so why did you ask? And she's like, because I almost named you Kasha.
Oh, interesting.
At which point I almost drove off the road because I was like, you what? Why didn't you tell me that before? Because, you know, my legal name is Catherine and Sasha is like, I mean, literally, if you were to say Sasha, call Sasha, I would turn around because she's like my alter ego. You know, it's a big part of my life.
Yeah.
So when she said she almost named me Kasha, I was just like, shut the fuck up. But my mom doesn't like the F word. So, you know, it was a mess. But that just blew me away.
Yeah. I mean, talk about synchronicity and manifesting. Girl, you got right? The mojo for sure. On that manifestation yeah. Shit.
I get a kick out of manifesting when it's good stuff, but man, that is like my jam. I love that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's pretty damn cool.
Thank you.
So tell me about a time when your snarkiness wasn't appreciated. How did you handle it? Besides the workplace incidents.
Besides the firings. You know, it's hard to think of just one incident. It's hard to suss out like smart assiness versus sassiness versus sarcasm. I don't know if this exactly fits the bill, but I remember, you know, so I've shared a couple stories how I kind of like my snarkiness is a little misguided. I remember the first really misguided attempt at sassiness, which I think about it now. I only thought of it right before this podcast, you know, because you gave me a little preview of some questions you might ask. And I was like, well, no, I remember. Seventh grade, we had this teacher who was very prim and proper, and it was grammar, you know, and you had to diagram sentences and all that. That was just
why
a lot happened in seventh grade. So yeah, I know why. That was just, to this day, I haven't diagrammed a sentence. I mean, anyway, I digress. So a couple things happened in seventh grade. One of them was for this teacher, I wrote this paper that I toiled over. I was so proud of this paper, and he gave me like a C, and I was a straight A student for like a year. That was my straight A year, so C was unacceptable. So in front of the whole room, I yelled at him and tore up my paper in front of him. And later I was like, why did I do that? I was trying to punish him. So I'm like, I'll show him. And I'm like, oh, God. That same year, in a different class, me and two of my girlfriends in class were doing Mad Libs. Do you guys remember? Do you know
what
those are?
I loved Mad Libs, yeah.
Oh, Mad Libs were the best, right? Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, we were doing all these Mad Libs about Mrs. Rice, our teacher, who I actually really liked this teacher, but, you know, we were being bad. And so Miss Rice, like, stopped us because we're, like, making commotion in the back of the room. And my friend Wendy, we didn't know what to do. We panicked. So my friend Wendy, like, scrunched up the Mad Lib paper, tore it out, scrunched it up, put it in her mouth. And then Miss Rice brought all three of us up to the front of the room and told Wendy to take the paper out of her mouth. And Miss Rice took it, scrunched it up, and had us take turns reading it.
Oh my God.
Mortifying. But that's just funny. Like, I felt so bad, though. So that's my first memory of, like, self. I mean, you didn't ask for self-sabotaging behavior, but that's been my experience with it.
Yeah.
That's my first memory. I know there's way more than that, but those were the innocent beginnings, we'll say.
Innocent beginnings, yeah. Yeah, you had no idea what you were doing at the time, I'm sure.
I was a complete rookie.
Right, you're just in training. So what advice do you have for people who don't really appreciate sarcasm?
Well, I mean, you know, the first thing that's going to roll off my tongue, and I'll be a little more subtle than that. Just go somewhere else. Go play in a different sandbox. Like, seriously.
Right, I like that. Next time I'll tell my boss that, you know, go play in another sandbox because obviously you don't get it. She'll love that.
Yeah, you totally don't get it. I know they do. And yeah, that's gotten me in trouble. So you got to be gentle in how you say that, yeah. Which is why I didn't flap. I'm like, fuck off, because that's the first inclination. I'm like, no, I've grown. I've learned you got to sugarcoat it a little more.
Yeah, I have issues with delivery when speaking to people sometimes. Like, I worked in the grocery industry for 16 years. Most recently was Whole Foods, and I was a manager. I'm a very straightforward person, so I don't beat around the bush. I'm going to tell you exactly, not necessarily how I feel about you. It's more about your work ethic that is lacking.
Do you do like the compliment sandwich and then like?
Oh, I hate the compliment sandwich. I hate it. I think it's just, I don't know. The compliment, it's just, I think it's an insult. The compliment sandwich is just insulting to people.
It's like really good, like liverwurst in the middle. Like,
yeah. Or that loaf with the olives in it.
Oh man, that's the worst.
So as far as your creative process, what does it look like? Is it systematic? Do you create whenever the mood hits you? Are you a morning person, afternoon, night owl? How does the magic happen?
Is scattershot an answer? No, I noticed that when I'm really stressed is when it does the best. So, you know, for anybody who gets my newsletter, like right now they're getting new coloring pages. This was not intended to be a shameless plug, but if I may, like if you go to sashaohara.com, you can get my email list. You can get a free, you know, copy of Chill the Fuck Out ebook. I'm just doing some coloring pages right now that only go out to the email list, but it's kind of like I've got that, you know, like this whole time that we're in right now is ridiculous, mm-hmm. right? So as we're doing this, like it's the pandemic's going on and there's, you know, just political stuff. I mean, it's just batshit in a lot of ways. Hopefully a lot of healing will come from it, but it's situations like this that just really create the urge to want to do something creative and laugh and kind of just bring something that feels good. And I know it'll help other people too, because it's so stressful and coloring can be such a relaxing thing for so many people. So yeah. So, I mean, I guess I do get systematic when I actually have a clear idea what I want to create. I can get a little manic about it, and I'm definitely a night owl. Morning is like for no, my morning is like, I'm still up when you wake up. In that case, I might be a morning person, but otherwise I could just, no, not okay. Yeah. I've tried that thing, you know, where you're like, oh, you do the morning routine and you get up at 5 in the morning and, you know, I'll do it for a week and I am miserable. So, yeah. So it's kind of scattershot and then I kind of get organized around it, but I don't have like a, you know, I sit at my desk from 10 to 15 and then I, you know, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little too regimented. Do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
Depends on the area. With myself, yeah. With the other stuff, no. You know, in fact, actually, it's interesting you asked that. So I always was. And when I published Calm the Fuck Down, that was one of the first times I ever was like, you know what? It's more important to put something out there if you have that drive to do it than worry about getting it perfect. And I had actually gone to a Tony Robbins, like Unleash the Power Within, and I did the whole walk on fire. I freaking walked on fire. How insane is that? I gotta say.
That is insane.
That, like, if you walk on fire, you really can do anything. And so that for me definitely unleashed, like, I've got this idea. I feel very passionate about it. It feels almost like it's like coming through me. I don't feel like any of this is about me. It does. Like people say that and it sounds like they're full of shit, but I think it's actually true. Sometimes it's just an idea that just wants to be birthed through you. Mm-hmm. And so I found that letting go of perfection when there's something creative that needs to come out is really a wonderful thing, just to let it be in the world. And so I've learned, you know, you don't want to put crap out there, but you want to put some other, you know, it's good quality, but don't let the perfection hold you back.
Yeah, that's good advice that I need to hear, because I'm definitely a perfectionist and it's, you know, it's about doing it the right way. I just get stuck in my head a lot of like, I want to write a kid's book and, you know, I've been wanting to do that for a long time. And I finally, like last year, started writing it. But it's like, you know, you would think writing 25 pages wouldn't be difficult. But no, I find a way to make it difficult.
I mean, I think of this, like one of my favorite singers is Van Morrison. And you listen to his voice, he does not have a great voice. But the way he is passionate and the way he puts it together with the music, oh my God, it's beautiful. And so to me, that's a one of many examples of like, if it's an expression of you, you know, the right people will be so inspired by it. And some, you know, little kids or even adults are going to like treasure. I mean, when I was a kid, that was really for me, me, and probably for a lot of kids, like magic. Like I would pore over those illustrations and those stories for hours. Mm. I even believed, as a funny aside, like there was this one book I had, it was about Eskimos, I think. And they showed this Eskimo in this canoe. And I used to just look at this picture. So for the longest time, I believed that in order to be able to ride in a kayak, that you had to do the splits. That like you couldn't, that it wasn't wide enough for both legs. You had to have one leg behind you the whole time and one in front. And I was like, holy hell, I will never be able to ride in a kayak. So, I mean, you can do that to children. So I totally think you should get that book out. You can totally mess with their heads in such a wonderful way.
Yeah. Richard Scarry books were my, my What Do People Do All Day book. That was my go-to. So, yeah, it definitely, you remember them even as adults. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, go for it. Even just like, you know, send me an email or something. If you're going through a hump, just be like, hey, you know, I'm having a hard time, and I'll just kind of nudge you. Cause you know, if you're really feeling called to do it, just go for it.
Yeah. I kind of need that nudge, and I don't really have the group of people I have family and friends, you know, they mean well and they're great, but I don't have mm-hmm. that collaborative, creative group of people that I had, you know, when I went to art school. And, you know, you miss that. It's like going to massage school and then you go out on your own, like you're done with school. It's like you miss being massaged every single day, first of all.
Totally.
And then you miss being around people that are, you know, like-minded, creative. And it's like you go through withdrawals when you are free.
Totally. You know, in this world right now, like the whole world is going through that right now. You know, one of the antidotes to that, I'm actually really glad you brought that up, because I have found one of the best ways, how do I say it? Indicators of something that I need to do is jealousy. So actually, I really welcome jealousy and envy and revenge. I'm actually not personally a vengeful person, mm-hmm. but I do have that part of me. It's like, I'll show you. And so like anytime I'm feeling, and that was part of what prompted the books too. I was feeling like really jealous of certain, like I was really jealous of, I don't even remember now because I got it out of my system, but like J.K. Rowling and like Elizabeth Gilbert, and like these were authors, but like I just felt this like, oh, that's supposed to be mine. And the woman who did, it was, what are those posters? Demotivators. I don't know if this company still has those posters, and it like really motivated me. I was like, man, that's supposed to be mine. And right. So sometimes in the absence of having that community, and we're all like, really, this is all weird. Like we're, a lot of us are feeling really isolated. Like, is there somebody who, you know, does something, you're like, oh, that should be mine. That can add really good fuel to that fire, I find.
Yeah. And I've read some of your reviews from people who have purchased your coloring books. And I was quite impressed, actually. Your Calm the Fuck Down book has over 5,500 reviews. I don't know if you knew that. And some words that people have used are sassy, snarky, cheeky, hilarious, fantastic, and people call themselves sassy colorist.
Mm.
One reviewer said, this book will do exactly as it says. It will help you calm the fuck down. I thought that was pretty funny. And then
yeah.
Another viewer said, this is a fun book that gives you a wee chuckle when you start coloring. She must be from Scotland or something.
Yeah, totally.
And then another one said, I liked all the swear words, and it was in all caps, and that's all they said.
Nice.
So do you read the reviews, at least for entertainment value, or do you not? If you do, how does it affect you?
I did read the reviews at first. I'm just blown away, like those positive reviews. It blows me away because I had this idea, and it actually makes me kind of emotional, you know. Some of the things that sometimes show up on the reviews, but I also like I get emails. I've gotten some emails from people that just really take my breath away, because you put something out there, you know, and you sell it on Amazon, and I have a publishing deal in the rest of the world. But for me here, I'm a, you know, I'm self-published. So you put it out in the world and you don't actually know what happened. It like just goes out in the ether and you never really know if somebody doesn't tell you. And so I'll get an email. It's like, I'm a vet and somebody just sent, you know, I'm on an aircraft carrier and someone sent this in my care package and this is getting me through.
Mm. Wow.
And that just like, it makes me like teary. It's really moving. And, you know, sometimes people have like terminal cancer or they have mental health concerns or a family member does. And I mean, the fact that it's had that effect on people really blows me away. And I spent so many years actively working to help people relax and decrease their stress. Right. And here I created this book that's reached so many more people. I'm like, I was doing it wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
I should have done this years ago, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's super moving. It's so moving. And then I've also had, I'm pretty sensitive. Like I've had some incidents like on Facebook or different things where people can be really mean. Like they don't maybe understand there's a human being behind. I mean, we all deal with that online, right?
Yeah.
You can be somebody can be pretty cruel without understanding that it can affect somebody. So I was pretty shy about looking at anything for a while.
Right.
And then of course there were the reviews in the beginning. Like somebody was like, this blanket is terrible and the color is wrong. I'm like, so, okay. And then I got another really long email about how terrible I am for swear words, you know, putting some out there with swear words. I'm like, wow, you put a lot of time in that, you know, really. If you just like let it go and did something else, go play in a different sandbox. Like clearly my sandbox isn't for you. I mean, that is really a tiny percentage of everything that comes through. So I want to put it in perspective. But
yeah.
That was something that surprised me how much it affected me when that first happened. You know, I mean, overwhelmingly, people are just like, there's just been some wonderful people. I mean, it's really cool. Like here, I get to be on a podcast. How cool is that? And I was super shy to do that. But like when you contacted me, I was like, Women Who Sarcast. I mean, God, that's like the best name ever, you know? Of course I'm going to be on the podcast. So yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking that step and being on the show. I was floored when you agreed to it. So I appreciate that.
I'm honored to be asked. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been said by Wikipedia, I'm sure, that adult coloring books bring people back to their childhood and reduce anxiety and stress, and that it's similar to meditation in a form of adult therapy. Honestly, I'd rather color your books with an adult beverage than sit cross-legged oming my thoughts away. Did you ever think you'd become this meditation guru? Because I'm sure that's what you call yourself.
Oh, I know. I'm like, oh, yeah. No, never. I never call myself a meditation guru. Although I have actually written a book on meditation. It's probably out there. It's in my actual name.
Oh.
It's like 5-minute meditations or something. Because I used to live in an ashram. I am a meditator. Oh, my God. No, never. And I'm totally not a meditation guru. But I'm blown away. I mean, like I said a couple minutes ago, like when I was first hearing like how much this was helping people calm down and feel better and like, holy crap. Like I said, I think I did everything wrong before that. I should have done this years ago. I had no idea the effect it would have, but I'm thrilled. You know, I'm super thrilled because that's what I want to leave behind in the world is helping people feel good. I throw in an occasional F-bomb because I think that's hilarious, but that's not the whole point. It's just to have fun and bring a little happiness and humor. So if that's the benefit that people get from it, dang, there's no words for how great that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Do you have like a group of sassy groupies, like the Moonies or something, or a snarky cult or something?
I can't tell anybody about them. They're in my basement. I don't have a basement. No. There's definitely been group of fans that have been with us from the very beginning. Just some wonderful people. Obviously, we're not hanging out in person right now. You know, it's kind of wild because what I do is, you know, the books are just out there in the ethers. And because, you know, when I meet with people, it's online. Like, I don't have like a physical place where we all meet. I did go to Las Vegas to meet Catherine Shelton. This was like 2 years ago, maybe. And so I had done an interview with her. And that's the funny thing. I don't know if you've run into this, because this was totally wild to me. So there's a lot of people who had seen my interview with Catherine. And so they kind of knew me, but I had never met them or seen them before. And they kind of had like, it seemed to me like already a relationship with me, or already had a conversation with me in their mind. Right. So when we met in person, first of all, it was fabulous to meet people in person. Second of all, I loved seeing people's reaction to my books. Because I don't get to see that. But what was funny is like people would come up to me in like mid conversation with me and I had no idea who they were. Right. And so I felt bad. I was like, hi. I mean, it was super flattering, but it was also really discombobulating.
Right. Yeah. Because they already know everything about you. And I'm sure they Googled you and, you know, stalk you on Facebook. And not that I would know personally, but.
Yeah. So I think basically what I'm saying is I am famous and popular, and I know what it's like to be Oprah.
Yeah.
Not at all. Oh my God. Can't imagine.
I'm paying you for this interview, right? Isn't that the negotiation that we...
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Speaking of money, you're also a money coach. So I'm very intrigued to know what that is exactly, and if coloring books are involved.
Not yet, but I don't rule that out. You know, a lot of people have like a lot of underlying stress in their life, and a lot of it just comes from their money stuff not working. And most of us are not taught how to manage our money. You know, just like the basic day to day, like, why is it that I make plenty of money, but I have no idea where it's going, you know?
Right.
Because basically, like, making money and keeping money are two different skills. And so I work with people, you know, it's like, if you think about why is it that, you know, you find out this librarian, she dies with $1 million in her mattress.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then you got someone who makes six figures or even $1 million, or like an athlete who makes millions and they're going bankrupt and they're broke, or just, you know, the average woman or person, like the end of the month, you're like, I have nothing left in my bank account. I help solve that problem. So like, how do you really align where your money is going with what you want it to do so that your money works for you instead of you working for your money? And money is like 20% math and 80% emotion, you know?
Mm, yeah.
And I really struggled. I got hit really hard in the last recession. And that was kind of what led to the coloring books. It was like, crap, I still got all this debt, you know, I'd gotten my ass handed to me in the last recession. And I never wanted that to happen again. So I went from, I'm a creative person, I'll always be broke, to like, no, I got to get my shit together, because I can't have that happen again. Mm-hmm. And I got help and I figured it out. And I was like, wow, this is magical. Like, when you learn to manage your money, shit comes together. Like, I had a plan for my money. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to get out of debt. I knew I wanted to have, you know, money in the bank to ride out economic storms and all that. And I knew I wanted to hopefully make an extra $300 a month. And because I had a plan, you know, I'm really big on law of attraction, manifesting, like, because I had a plan, it was practically grounded everything I wanted to create. It all came together once I had a plan for my money. So for some people, that's second nature. It was not for me. And for a lot of us, it's not. And I was like, man, that is probably the best stress relief I've ever had, is learning to manage my money. I want to help other women do that too, because it's powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, money isn't everything, but money is like oxygen. Like, when you don't have enough of it, it's all you want. But when you have it figured out, you can like not think about it anymore, and your stress level goes down and you start to get ahead. And so I really love working with, you know, women in particular. I work with men too, but I love working with women and money, and like, how do you create a plan and how do you get ahead? And if you want to invest and create wealth, how do you do that? I focus more on the practical financial literacy piece. I work with, you know, money archetypes, you know, emotions and beliefs and mindset, as well as the nitty gritty. It's really fun. It's really, really rich work. But it did actually kind of grow out of the coloring books.
Yeah.
Like, they're all, you can see my hands, but I'm like kind of got them interwoven.
What are a few of the money archetypes?
Yeah, the archetypes are super fun. So if for anybody who doesn't know what an archetype is, it's kind of like a universal type or personality. So like in any culture, you could like, I don't know, be in a crowd of people and you could say, well, she's very motherly, or he's very like athletic, like an athlete. It's kind of like a type. You don't even really know someone, but they kind of have this air about them. Mm-hmm. And we have the same things with money. So we're not limited to that one way of being, but they have a big influence on us. So let's say you're a maverick. That's one of the archetypes. That's one of my top archetypes. Like you're okay taking a risk. You know, other people might see what you do as kind of like, maybe you're not a 9-to-5 person. You're more likely maybe to work for yourself. Take big risks with the hope of big rewards. And that has some pluses and minuses. Like you will put yourself out there, maybe more than someone else might, but you know, you could risk losing big too. Or you might be someone who's like accumulator. It's kind of more like the accountant type. Like you love counting your money, like that comes naturally to you. Or you might be like a celebrity. Like you, for you, money is about status and, you know, having nice things. And every archetype has its gifts, is a beautiful thing. And every archetype has its challenges. Every archetype can make money. The advantage of knowing your archetype and knowing how to work with it is kind of like, forewarned is forearmed. So if you know there are things that you struggle with, like how do you kind of work with that and bring that up? But also how do you accentuate your gifts so that you can really, you know, let's say you have someone who's a celebrity as their main archetype, but they're working as an accountant and they're miserable. When really what they want to do is they want to be like a makeup artist or a stylist or an interior designer. Like if you can align who someone is with what they do, kind of like the coloring books, it's like, or, you know, you writing a children's book, if that's who you really are, things will flow more easily. It doesn't always come through a job for people. Like sometimes you're just like, I do this work to pay the bills. And at nighttime I write, or I write musical scores, you know? So it's not always about your work per se, but, that's a little bit about the archetypes. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of the last one where you said it was the, you know, my day job is just that. It pays the bills. Mm-hmm. It's a means to an end so I can do my creative stuff. So what's one piece of advice that you, when you first meet someone that needs a coach to help them financially, like what's the one thing?
Well, of course it depends on the person, but the biggest switch that I had to make that I see most other people need to make is, you know, to get what they want. There's a few things, but when it comes to the mechanics of the money itself, is the way most of us think that we're managing money, like we think we're doing it correctly, and then we're like, I don't understand why it's not working, is if you think of, let's pretend you're in a car, and you're driving by looking in the rearview mirror. So like you can't really get ahead. So that's how most of us manage our money, is we actually look at what we did spend. Instead, you need to like look forward in the toward the front of the road, and you actually decide where you want your money to go ahead of time. Hmm. And so, you know, by creating a plan. And I think the misconception we all have is that to do that, like some people call it a budget. I don't like that because it's like you're trying to budge it. But really, I'm not a fan of deprivation at all. So basically, it's going from, you know, this is what happened to my money to this is what's going to happen with my money. And I'm going to make sure I allocate first to the things that matter the most to me.
Right.
So you need to get really clear on what's important to you, what you value, what your goals are. And then it's amazing. People come alive. It's just a beautiful thing. Like stress comes down. People like, you know, who are in your situation where, you know, you've got work that pays the bills, but it doesn't feel it's not feeding you anymore. You know, I mean, there's definitely validity in having money to pay the bills. Like that is really helpful. And when it hits that point where you're like, oh man, but you know, my creativity, my job is sucking my soul. I want to do the creative thing, but it's hard because sometimes you get that golden handcuff, you know, you make too much to leave, but you don't make enough to, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So the advantage of having that plan is you can actually start to break down, well, what would it actually take? Like, what are the numbers? And then you can actually set a date. And that's what I had done, is like, I'm setting a date 3 years from today, this will happen, or whatever it is, even if it's, you know, 3 or 5 years away, having that actual freedom date is really liberating, because you know the day that, like, this is the day I'm going to write my boss the fuck off letter. And yes, I don't suffer fools, and you're one of them, and bite me. And it's very satisfying.
I mean, just you saying that has got me pumped up.
I know, right? So yeah, so you can actually like calculate that out. And I was allergic to that stuff for a long time. I'm like, oh, you mean you can use math for diabolical means and freedom and creativity? I'm in.
That sounds pretty awesome. And it, once again, it seems like you're definitely in line with who you are, you know, as far as helping people and getting them the freedom that we all want and deserve.
Yeah, we live in a funny culture because we idealize people who strike it rich, or like my story was pretty dramatic monetarily when Calm the Fuck Down went big. Like, it changed my life. And that's a lot of energy. Money is energy. I used to think that was crazy, but actually it's like, how much can you manage the money coming at you, or lack of money? It's because money will always come. It's like you said, money always comes. It's always there. It's kind of how much we pinch off the river. So to ask for more money can be very uncomfortable. So it's almost like, how much can you become comfortable with that discomfort? You know, one of the things I learned, and this was a real eye opener to me, when I started selling on Amazon, it was like there was money everywhere. I always recommend standing in the place of like taking on the belief, even if you don't believe it or at first, just practice believing that money is everywhere. Even if you find a nickel on the sidewalk, money can come to us in a lot of different ways. And I find that it's really when we are less stressed that we have more creative resources that we can actually think about. Like, first you kind of think about what you want. My goal was to create enough passive income to pay for my desired lifestyle. So I knew anything I was going to do, it always takes work, but what is the end I'm going for? And then be open and be creative to let it come. It's not always as easy as it sounds. Like, there's a lot of layers to that. Oh, and a funny story though about finding money. So back in the 2008 recession, when I was getting, again, my ass handed to me financially, it was brutal. I lost my condo. It was awful. I remember, you know, the credit card bill went up by 10 bucks and I was crying because I was like, I didn't have an extra 10 bucks, right? So I was going for a walk and I found a $10 bill on the ground. And, you know, that feeling you get, you're like, wait, is that money? Holy shit, it's $10. You know, I was like, wow. So I decided I was going to treat myself. And I lived in Seattle at the time, went to Half Price Books. I was like, I'm going to buy a book. I'm so excited, you know, because I hadn't bought anything for myself in a while. And I saw this book. It really pissed me off. It was called Overcoming Undereating. And I was like, don't even talk to me. You just fuck off. No, that's not a problem. And so then I went around the store, but this title, this book, this cover kept getting my attention. And I actually read it and it said Overcoming Under Earning. And I was like, oh, by Barbara Stanley. So that's actually the book that I bought with the $10 because it was like $9.99. But yeah, I thought it was Overcoming Under Eating. And I was just like, I was so mad. I was like, that's a problem I will never have, you know?
Right. Well, Sasha O'Hara, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an awesome experience, and I really appreciate you taking the time to hang out with me and chat.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. I'm so excited I'm just honored that you asked me. I really appreciate it. And I've really enjoyed getting to know you and talking with you. It's definitely an honor and a pleasure. So thank you.
You can find Sasha O'Hara at sashaohara.com on Instagram and Facebook, and you can purchase her books on Amazon and on her website. Thank you for listening to Women Who Sarcast. Show music provided by Mike Imbasciani.